If you were diagnosed with leprosy, you were taken by force from your family and sent to this island to die, Molokai. You'd be dumped in the surf. You'd have to make your way ashore, find shelter in caves, or build a shack if you could. You could imagine the anger, the hopelessness, the crime, and the self-pity there. It was like life at the lowest level, to say the least. Father Damien felt Jesus call him to go to that island. So he got there, and he started telling them, the lepers, about Jesus. He made sure that he hugged the 600 residents all the time. I think it's interesting. Even last night, so I've been reading that. I've been inspired by this story for a few weeks now. But last night, we had some relatives over. We had a nice little Christmas gathering. And we were speaking about one of our cousin's children, a young man. And we were talking about, you know, just the troubles of life you go through sometimes as teenagers and the difficulties. But you know what his cure is? He said the thing that really cures him more than anything when he's down, he said, is getting a hug from his dad, which is our cousin. And it just got me to thinking, why do we hug so much? It's really not to force you to hug. It's just what the love of God does. You know, it's a scientifically proven that if you don't receive touches, like quite frequently, just especially even as a baby, if you don't receive any touch, any kind of hugs, you will die or you'll be severely malformed in your thinking and your emotions, and soon you'll be cut off. You may not ever be able to even receive a hug, but that would be desperately what you needed, some touch, some embrace. You're human and you're made for hugs. So he would hug them all the time. He was a priest, but also a doctor. So I'm going to begin to throw in the story of Jesus here so that you can see what I mean. So the disciples of Jesus and others around Jesus in his time, they didn't respect young people. And so they said, get them out of here when they were coming around Jesus. And Jesus said, no, let them come to me. So I think you're right to picture Jesus grabbing those infants or reaching out and people giving them to him, because he took them in his arms, the scripture says, and blessed them. He hugged them. That was one of the ways that he blessed children. So Father Damien was a priest. Jesus was a priest. Father Damien was also a doctor, and Jesus was a doctor. Because just as Father Damien treated ulcers and other problems, we read in Scripture how Jesus treated every malady he came across. He said everybody that had a sickness of every kind, when Jesus touched them and healed them, it was gone. Anything from an amputated, I mean, I don't even know if they had an amputee. Oh, yeah, they would have had amputations back then. Probably not very successful ones way back then. But they would have had legs that were malformed or deformed and didn't come out long enough. Hey, stretch out your leg. Stretch out your arm, Jesus said. And they were healed. Father Damon was also an architect and carpenter. And he built beds and homes. That's most likely what Jesus built while he was here on earth. Beds and homes and things that had to do with just basic household things back in his day. He was a carpenter, and therefore he was an architect. He had to put things together humanly. Father Damien always said, we lepers. Now think of this now as the life of Jesus. Jesus lived long enough to say that he was the Son of Man. When you ask him who he was, oftentimes he didn't just say Son of God. He said, I'm the Son of Man. He was identifying as your brother, as one of us fully, just as Father Damien did. He always said, we lepers. And then one day, that became reality. Damien acquired leprosy. So I'd like to show you. So you saw the picture of what he looked like when he went to the leper colony. Here's what he looked like after touching all 600 or plus. He caught leprosy himself, and so he's only right there. He's only got about a few weeks to live in the leper colony because he's got the same thing they have. Damien acquired leprosy. This is where we take very seriously that there's no such thing as, I use a fancy word here now, but I'll explain it. There's no such thing as an immaculate conception. The immaculate conception, that's primarily Catholic as in Catholic Church doctrine, that it just seems inconceivable to the mind that Jesus could be born, that he truly could be the Son of God, and yet his mother had sin. That's just so hard to believe that they've made up a doctrine that there's just no way for Jesus to be sinless unless his mother was sinless. So the Immaculate Conception says Mary was not a sinner. Now, I don't know how that would have happened, seeing that she wasn't God and she clearly had parents and her genealogy, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord. So you got to think biologically when you think of Mary, because Mary is not God, never claimed to be. In fact, she claimed to be submitted to God. But Jesus was always pronounced and proclaimed to be God, the Son of the Most High, as well as the Son of Man. When he was born from Mary, he was born into sin. Now, we know, we hold tight to the fact that even though he was born in a sinful flesh, he did not sin in sinful flesh. He lived a life of temptation where you and I are tempted to sin. And temptation, I remind you, is not sin. It's not sin to be tempted. But Jesus was tempted but never sinned. Now, that's where we go wrong. We're tempted and we keep on falling into temptation and sinning. So you can see the importance of Jesus' life right there. If Jesus had sinned the same way you and I had sinned while living, what hope would we have for salvation? Would we have any? Why not? Because he's fallen just as short of God as we have. So you can't save us if you're in the same position as us. You got to live differently to get us out of the mess. Are you with me? All right, so this is the importance of Jesus' life and why we can't just skip to his death real quick. It was important that Jesus acquire leprosy or to be spiritual. He acquired sin. He acquired a sinful flesh. He was just as tempted as we are. He needed to go there. Otherwise, he couldn't resist temptation and give us life. But he did go there, just like Father Damien went there. He acquired sinful flesh. Father Damien knew what would happen, but I'm not sure he knew all the ways it would affect him. So I think we can say the same thing about Jesus. Jesus was so human that as a human being, he could not know all the things that would have affected him. He knew he was going to have to die, but when he got into Gethsemane, the garden, before praying about his death, he said, "Oh Lord, if it's possible, please take this from me. If there's another way than this dramatic suffering, then please do it. You can do it if you want to." But then he turned around where you and I would pray that prayer. That'd be all we're praying. Please save me, or send me somebody else, save me. You know, that's where we turn to another God. Jesus said, "No, but not my will, but yours be done." And that's why as you're growing as a Christian, you're learning to do that, aren't you? It's because of Jesus' life and living that way that now you are learning to say no to temptation, no to another God, because you're acquiring the life of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't know it would fully affect him like that, and so his tears, we have to say that, because Jesus' tears weren't fake tears. He wasn't coming acting like he was a human, because we don't just act like we're human, we're really human. So he had to come, if he's going to come to where we're at, he had to come to where we're really at. He couldn't act. He's really crying out, "Oh Lord, if there's another way than this suffering, this leprosy, then please save me." On one occasion, another priest came to see Father Damien, and he visited him to show him some support, but he refused to get off the ship. So Damien had to row out to meet him and shouted up his confession. It was humiliating. There's our Lord again, with his disciples. I mean, those that claim to trust him, those that have left their jobs and their homes and said, "I'll follow you, I'm with you." And he says, "All right, come with me to the garden. Listen, I got to pray. Come with me and pray." Jesus goes to pray, and where are his disciples at? They're in the garden, but they're sleeping. And what does he do? He comes and confesses to him, oh man, I'm grieved almost to the point of death. It says that he's bleeding blood. You know, the stress is so bad coming out of his pores. There's situations where that can happen. The stress is so bad. But here you are sleeping. Can't you just watch with me for an hour? And that not only happened once, that happened three times. And then, of course, you know, Peter says, I'll never leave you, Lord. I mean, I'm with you through the thick and thin. Let's go die with you, Lord. That's why they're there, too. And he says, no, I don't think so. You're going to leave me. And, of course, they all ran. Jesus was arrested in that garden. And what happened to all of his disciples? Every single one of them, including Peter, ran. See? Damien experienced another priest, another one of his peers came to him but wouldn't get near him, and so he had to yell up his confession. I imagine from a human standpoint it was humiliating to see your disciples all standing with you and then run scared like a chicken as soon as it came down to brass tacks. Father Damien couldn't even visit his headquarters because of the disease. He worked all the way until April 15th, 1889, when he died the death everyone else was dying. Now, this is where the story is a little bit different for Jesus, and we have to think more deeper and truly of what's going on with Jesus. So we do have to say that eventually Jesus died because of our sin. He actually ended up on a cross because we were so sinful, we hated God. We identified him as one close to God. We hated him. We wanted no part of him. And so we killed him. But I think that what we have to do in the light of what I talked about, how you have to hold life and death together, that any time Jesus was living out life the way a human being was, what was he doing to the wrong way of human being living? What was he doing to our wrong way of living when he was living right? He was turning it around from what? Death. Is that what you say? Yeah, correct. See, this is how you have to look at Jesus' life. Now you have to get really spiritual. Now you almost have to get away from biology. Anytime Jesus is living the way a human being ought to live before his Father, and that's the only way he lived, then he's killing the wrong way that we respond to the Father. Y'all with me? When Jesus is praying, and we're not praying, and we ought always to pray and never give up. But when we're called to pray by the Holy Spirit, we don't listen. We're out Christmas shopping. We got Christmas shopping to do, man. I don't got time to pray today. I got to get these gifts for Christmas. Y'all don't live in this world, really. But there, Jesus, whenever called by the Holy Spirit or prompted by the Spirit to pray, he prayed. And therefore, he put our neglect of God to death. This is why you can never get away from the death of Jesus, because it's not just about biology. He's dying. He's killing our human nature, which refuses to be faithful to God in every circumstance. Every time Jesus does right, he's killing that part of our human nature. Why? Why is he killing it? Huh? Why is he killing a nature that's against God? Yeah, so that we can live. See, God's greatest gift to us is not just his death, but also his life. But it's his life and his death at the same time. Otherwise, we couldn't live. This is a very simple thing, but we'd hardly think along these lines. This is why I wanted to make sure you saw this, where I think Father Damien's like. See, it says here, he died the death everyone else was dying. But I'd say with Jesus, Jesus died the way we die in every way that we die, not just biologically. But he gave them, Father Damien, a life they couldn't live on their own. Now listen to this. This is really crucial. Father Damien gave the leprous people a life they couldn't live on their own. Think of these lepers. Did they have to wait to die before they could receive a new life? Before they could receive a transformed life and live anew? Or was it somehow a miracle of God's grace that when someone comes in and identifies you with you in every kind of way, your life can become transformed then, and you don't have to wait? Well, let's read. As soon as Father Damien landed on Molokai, he started to instill in the members of his community a sense of dignity and self-worth. Right where they were, in the leper colony. What about right where you are, in the sinner colony? Previously, people tossed dead bodies into shallow graves so that pigs and dogs would eat the bodies. What did you used to believe and understand before you knew about Christ and the power of his resurrection? And how does that affect the way you think about death and treat it now? Do you just go mourning when you go to a death? Or do you, as the scriptures say with the Holy Spirit's power, do you mourn as one who has hope? I mean, waiting for Jesus to come back would be a little too late if right now you people around you are dying and you need hope now. When Jesus comes, that's a little late for the situations we have now, right? Okay, y'all getting to a point here that Jesus has come now so that we can somehow right now begin to receive this transformed life. We don't have to wait. It's pressing upon us, in fact. And it says Father Damien built a cemetery that was clean and fenced in. Our thoughts about death are now a little more clean. We know that death now is no longer a tomb, but now it's a womb. That's the way that leads to the kind of glorified life God's given us in Christ. People could then die with honor. Other lepers could express honor to them. Father Damien gathered people to build new, clean houses, farms, and schools, always building right alongside them. Whatsoever you do, you're supposed to do with all your might right now. Not just when Jesus returns. Why do you do it with all your might right now? Right, because what it means to be a Christian is that you're in union with Jesus Christ right now. Y'all with me, church? The life of Jesus is just as important because it's the only hope we have right now for beginning to live right now with clean houses, with new farms and schools. So you can take it, there's a new way to do schoolwork now. Why? Because Jesus did his schoolwork. There's a new way to honor parents right now because Jesus honored his mother and father, it says, and was faithful to them. There's a new way to live in faithfulness to your neighbor because Jesus always lived in faithfulness to his neighbor while he was here among us. It says, Father Damien and the people built a church building to worship God together. I couldn't help but just think that this is exactly what it says about Christians. It says that God has begun to build a building and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And who is built around Jesus that we're built on top of? Bible now. We're built on Jesus and the apostles. There we go. We're built on the foundation of Jesus and the apostles. So that's why we read the scriptures to see how did they live? What did they say? What is possible right now by the power of God in the Holy Spirit? And then it says, within a few years, the island was transformed. This island of lepers. Now they have all still got leprosy. They're dying in their leprosy, but everything was transformed. Why? Because they received Father Damien then, while he was with them then, in those moments. The crime rate went down. And basically, we've seen this happen in the history of the world, that Jesus came 2,000 years ago, where it was just 12 people, or maybe 150, we could say, or so. And he says, you're going to go into Judea and Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And here we are now, Christians, because they followed that and did that now. They didn't just wait for Jesus to return, and God didn't wait. And as a result, we're now Christians, and many, in all kinds of nations. Really, the crime rate really has gone down. You're no longer doing the things you did. Committing the crimes you committed. You're still tempted to. Maybe you fall every once in a while, but you get back up again. It was no longer just a living cemetery for those waiting to die. We're not just in a sinner's colony waiting to die so that one day we can be participate in the life of God in Jesus Christ. Right now, we can be full of the Holy Spirit, full of the smiles and hugs of the Father, even as we still die and approach our death. And it says here in the end, he died, Father Damien, the death everyone else was dying, to give them the life they could not live on their own. Jesus died the death that all of us die, so he could give us the life that we could not live on our own. Again, I'm not referring to just his biological, physical death on the cross. I'm talking about his death from the moment he was a baby, a teenager, a middle-aged adult. All the things he lived out faithfully for his Father were ways he was putting our broken humanity to death, so that right now, in this world, we can live unto Christ as well as die unto Christ. So, the word of Christmas today here, I believe, is don't underestimate the kind of life that is available to you right now in Christ. You still do sin, yes, but let's not be sin-centered and sin-focused. Let's repent and believe the good news. Don't underestimate your opportunity to participate with Christ right now in the salvation of others. Father Damien, in the name of Jesus Christ, went to that island. Where have you been sent? What's your culture? What's your family? What's your workplace? What's your neighborhood? See, don't underestimate that right now you're being called to lay down your life and catch the leprosy of the people around you, that in living, in dying, you may help them to live even now. And then one day they'll die, and then we can still have hope. Come on to the end of my last. All right, I put this again because here's the amazing thing. Go to the one before then. So if you're following the analogy, this is what we look like right now as Jesus has come to us spiritually. But Jesus has put that to death in his life, so this is what we really look like in Christ, except in a glorified way. Are y'all with me? So this is the good news that he wanted me to preach today. So I conclude by saying, if you'll turn to the last slide there, may we all receive Jesus now and say, as Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's son or daughter, whichever the case may be, said Mary, said you. May it be done to me according to your word. I offer up this good news to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit God, who love you very much.